Good evening, everybody. Great to see everyone. Thank you all for coming to this year. We are approaching Parshas Bo. And I would like to preface with the halachic shaila that we'll discuss this evening. We'll connect the Parsha to the halachic requirement to sleep on one's side as opposed to sleeping on one's back at night. And I'll tell you, this shaila came up in my life recently. Why? I had some shoulder pain. If you remember, you know, in June, I had a little bit of a fall. It's very, very likely that I have what's called a torn labrum. And, you know, Robert can relate to these issues. But ultimately, when you have shoulder issues, so sometimes it affects the way you sleep, obviously, if, you know, leaning on your shoulder. So for me to sleep on my back right now is pretty easy in terms of my physical comfort. Sleeping on my side can be very, very painful. So if I wake up in the middle of the night in pain, because, you know, one shoulder hurts or the other shoulder hurts or whatever, so it really will affect my sleep. Now, if I don't sleep enough, that's not good. You know, that's a big deal to not be able to sleep normally. So I recently asked the great Hagaon of Tzvi Sobolovsky Shlita. I said, Rebbe, I have some shoulder pain. Is it okay if I sleep on my back? I'm going to read you the one-word answer. Yes. So, text to Rebbe Sobolovsky the Shaila. And that was it. I just wrote, you know, I have shoulder issues, sleeping on my side can be very painful. Wanted to know if I can start sleeping on my back at night. He just wrote, yes. And I wrote, thank you. Now, again, it could have been a more lengthy discussion. I could have asked for some lumdus. But let's try to fill in the gaps this evening, Alvin, because I've been sleeping on my back for one night so far. And commercial. I'm feeling great, you know, if anyone needs a head to sleep on their back. So let's see.
You have to be in pain.
You have to, right. If anyone wants you to break their labrum, you know, I can show you how to fall on a jog at, you know, the railroad on Fairland Avenue. It was a crazy fall last year. Either way. So ultimately, let's learn a little bit of Parsha. Then we'll learn some Gemara with the Mefarshim, some Lamdas. We'll try to figure out exactly what the halachic boundaries are here. It's not a simple situation at all, actually. So here we go. Ironically, we're going to start with the comment of the Sforno in last week's Parsha, whereby Hashem told Moshe, wake up early, stand before Paro, to tell him to send out Klal Yisrael, because now it's really going to be bad. It's going to be Makas, not Dams Vadei Kinen, but it's going to be Arov. It's right before Arov. You know why? Oh, that's not true. It's right before, it's at the end of last week's Parsha, and the Sforno there is explaining when the Makos are going to transition to Barad, rather, where the Makos are no longer on the ground or on the people or on the animals, but rather in the atmosphere. So that starts with Barad, where you have the Tzach, that's Ba'achav, so Barad, Arba Choshech. So that's going to be a whole new category of a Makah. And therefore, says the Sforno over there as follows. This third category of Makah, this Min HaShlishi Me HaMakot Ba'avir. So it's going to be really bad. You know why? Because... Oh, I sent it to you, my friend.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this. Oh, they have been sent. So the Sforno, Perek Tet, Pasuk Yudalet, explains that the Makos related to the atmosphere don't just go away overnight. It says even after the Maka is quote-unquote removed, there's going to be a long-term residual effect. If you have a very severe natural disaster, so there might be long-term effects on the plantation, the vegetation, v'amizonot, u'b'chole haguf, right? Imagine there being bacteria in the water. These problems don't go away overnight. And the mashal that the Sforno gives is makas choshech. Shekilkel emezek ha'avir belisa fake. The Sforno posits, undoubtedly, there were some long-term negative consequences to the atmosphere, the temperature, etc., based on Makas Choshech, and they didn't get up. V'shelokamu ish mitachtav. Guess what happened after that? Imagine not moving for 3 days and not being able to move. You're going to need what? Serious amount of physical therapy after that. Says the Sforno, shenimshichu aleihem chalaim ra'im balisa fake. You try not moving for 3 days and then turning that switch off. It doesn't work that way. That, Makas Choshech is over. Everyone go back to normal. No. No. So he says that's the big difference between the first two sets of the Makos versus the third set of the Makos that affected the atmosphere. So the Sforno wants to argue those had longer-term effects. Okay. So let's learn a little bit about Makas Choshech and Parshas Bo. And then I want to use that Sforno as a springboard for the funny positioning of sleep, because they could not move. Says this the pasuk Torah Paragud pasuk of Gimel. Vayet Moshe as Yado al Hashemayim. So Moshe stretched his hand towards the heavens. Vayichoshech afeila b'chol eretz Mitzrayim shloshes. There were 3 days of heavy darkness. Lo ra'u ish es achi. You could not see your fellow. Lo kamu ish mitachta shloshes. You couldn't even get up for 3 days. The whole Ben Israel. But in contrast, the Jewish people had plenty of light. Beautiful. So Rashi explains the darkness means as follows, that you couldn't see your brother for three days. So that was one set. It was a choshech shel afel. It was really, really dark, pitch black. But then there was a second set of 3 days, which was even more severe, where you couldn't even move. So it was 6 days in total. The first 3 days was really dark so that you could not see. But the second 3 days were even more severe, where you couldn't even move. And Rashi, quoting Chazal, if you were sitting, you could not stand. If you were standing, you could not sit. And famously, Rashi says, what was the purpose of this makkah? So that while it was dark for all of the midstream, we were able to go and see where they were hiding their treasures. And therefore, when we left, the midstream could no longer claim they had nothing valuable hiding. Rather, we would say, No, we know exactly which drawer you're hiding the gold in. Also, the first pshat is an unfortunate pshat that when the Jewish people themselves would die during this makkah, this way no one would see. The Mitzrayim wouldn't see that the Jews are also being held accountable for their sins. Whoa. Okay. And the Ramban just adds a little bit over here that you have to understand this was not just darkness. It was like, rather, it was lo haya choshech hazeh afisas or hashemesh. It wasn't just a lack of light, rather, it was an active darkness. What does that mean? Aval haya choshech afeila. Kilomer eid av me'od. Shir min ha-shamayim. It was like almost like a thick fog. I don't know what the proper word would be in science, but imagine a very thick haze, a smog, a fog, a very real darkness. Yeah.
In the normal situation of darkness, you know it's dark. So you,
right.
But this kind of darkness, everyone was too afraid to do anything because the darkness was like, there's nothing.
That's it. And the Ramban says that exact point because he said, well, if they were just to try to light a candle, it wouldn't have worked. Because normally, if you have darkness, there are ways to combat darkness. But no, it would extinguish the light. And there was no way out. Fascinating idea. Wow. Okay, so the Ramban just elaborates that it wasn't just an absence of light. The darkness itself was a physical, tangible layer of something in the atmosphere. Okay, beautiful. So Makas Hoshek, we have to appreciate Hashem's miracles. He saves us. It's an amazing parsha that should strengthen our emunah. And the funny positioning of the mitzvah when they could not move, it says the Sforno, ironically, end of last week's parsha had these long-term effects. So if I were to sleep on my side, there have been nights where I literally woke up where I said, hey, if I don't do something quick, I might wake up with a broken arm. Because sometimes I really was waking up where my left arm had been under so much physical stress trying to sleep on my side that I woke up in excruciating pain. And it almost felt like I was at the brink of a break. And again, I roll over, not the biggest deal in the world. I've been sleeping relatively normally, but it's time to ask for a heter over here. So I always thought on the books, you're supposed to sleep on your side. And that's because you're always supposed to sleep on your side. And the question then becomes, well, what if you have a torn labrum? And you have two options. You either need to get surgery or just ask a rabbi for a heter to sleep on your back. And like everything's fine all of a sudden. Okay, all right. What if you have two torn labrums, Dr. Karp, okay? So ironically, I usually charge for medical consultations over here with my Israeli graduate degree in education, my Reed Smicha. But my understanding is that there's a thing called compensation, where because I ironically have a torn labrum on the right side of my shoulder, my left shoulder is getting the brunt of all the other stuff, right, where you compensate too much on the other side. Okay, whatever, you guys know too much already. I can't give away all these secrets. That being said, I'll give a little commercial for the Kessler Physical Therapy Group and in Teaneck and the Glad Express parking lot. They're great. Okay. And also, if you're a TBC Rebbe and you need... If you're a TBC Rebbe and you need, like, between classes to either get coffee, Lazy Bean's a great place, and the Kessler Physical Therapy is a great place, and Glad Express is a great place. If you want to bank a Chase, there's so many things you could do within a 40-minute free period between classes at Torah Academy, Bexar County. Not too late to make your annual donations for 2024.
You have 38 minutes.
All right. You know what, AB? Let's move on. All right. So it says the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, you get on the base. Amar Rav Yosef, says Rav Yosef, Parakdan, if you are sleeping on your back, Lo Yikra Kriyat Shema. Right? Meaning when you say the Shema, you're accepting the yoke of heaven. So if you're a soldier being sworn into the army, pledging allegiance to the whatever, you know, you could assume you're standing up straight, looking at your sergeants, saluting. What's your physical posture when you accept the yoke of the Ribbono Shel Olam? You better not be lying on your back. So the Gemara says, well, Mikra u delo likri, that implies that you can't say Shema lying on your back. That's not respectful. Ha, migna, but if you're just going to bed, Shaper Dhamma, that's okay. But I thought Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi lied on the gunny, a pure kid. Forget Kriya Shema. He would curse you if you would just go to bed lying on your back. So what's the deal? Is it just a din in Hilchos Kriya Shema, or is it a din in every night when you go to bed? You're not allowed to go to bed on your back. So answers the Gemara, really, Ami Migna, when you go to bed, Ki Mitzali, if you just lean a little bit on your side, that's okay. You don't have to be on, you know, such a clear posture, as long as you're off your back a little bit. But if you're reading the Shema, even if you lean to the side, it's not enough. Not enough. Your posture needs to be, we'll say, even better than that. See if you pass him like that opinion. But Rabbi Yochanan asked the Gemara, actually, guess what he did? He would lean on his side and say Kriyat Shema. So don't tell me that lying on your side is good enough, is not good enough for Shema. It's only good enough for sleeping. Because Rabbi Yochanan did this. He would say the Shema when he laid on his side. And the Gemara, Shiny Rabbi Yochanan, the Baal Basar Havi. He was uniquely heavy. And therefore, the halacha would be more lenient for him. Even though he could only manage to go to the side, he can't do other things. That's enough for him to say the Shema. So most people who are more physically capable maybe had to sit up properly. But not Rabbi Yochanan. He was uniquely overweight. And his body was in a unique situation. So therefore, he could get away with less. The halacha was more flexible for Rabbi Yochanan. He could say the Shema even though he's only leaning on his side. Beautiful. So if we were to paskin based on this Gemara alone, we would say on the books, you're not allowed to go to sleep on your back. But to say Kriyat Shema,
no, just the opposite.
When you want to go to bed, what are you allowed to do? You're not allowed to go to sleep on your side. You're not allowed to sleep on your back, but you're allowed to sleep on your side. But Shema, not only is it's not good enough even to go on your side, you have to sit up. Right, so I mean, the question is, when you were on your back, when you transitioned to your side, is that good enough or not? So to go to sleep, that's good enough. Sleep on your side is good enough. Good. To say Shema, it's not good enough. Beautiful. Now let's talk a little bit about the sensitive reasons behind this halacha. Rashi says, why did Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi curse the person who would go to sleep on his back? Because by sleeping on your back, Shema yiskashe evaro betoch shenaso. When you're sleeping, a certain body part will get excited. V'niret l'rabim. And it will become apparent to all the people who notice. V'derech ganai. It's not appropriate. So you're going to end up being embarrassed. And therefore, it's inappropriate. Interesting shot in Rashi. And Rashi comments on the same Gemara in Maseches Nida. The exact same Gemara in Brachos is found in Maseches Nida. And there, Rashi adds a slightly different comment. In addition to the one he just said, he says, well, listen, if you're lying on your back, you're going to have, bekishoy is, you know, literally kashe, you're going to become harder. And you know what? It's going to become apparent. V'odba, there's a second reason. Sheyadav munachos lo al evaro umischamim. That apparently your hands will be more readily, quote unquote, active when you're sleeping on your back. Okay. So Rashi isn't elaborate. He just says, umischamim, you're going to become, aroused. So again, it's a sensitive halacha trying to prevent something. Whether it's trying to prevent you from being embarrassed if that body part gets hard, or secondly, you're going to become more aroused. But Rashi stops there. He doesn't say it will lead to anything further. It's just, that's what it is. Tosfos quotes Rashi. And he says, no. There's a different pshat. Different pshatim. So we have Rashi, but now we have the Rashbam. Rashi's grandson. That if you're on your back, something might fall. There's going to be more material on that body part. And therefore what? You're going to get aroused. Okay. But then he says, no. Lo near. Says, I don't like these pshatim. You know why? Because who sees you go to bed? Nobody. Makas choshech. It's dark in the room. No one sees you sleeping. So what, you're going to tell me that it's going to be embarrassing because the body part will get hard? Well, who's watching? No one's watching. Tosfos does not think that that pshat makes sense, right? No, that's not a logical critique on Rashi. Who's watching? So embarrassing that someone was aroused. What do you mean? So therefore, you know what? There's another pshat. He says, well, you're going to sleep on your back. You're going to, your spine will become warm, and that's going to lead to carry. You're going to have a seminal emission because you're going to be warm on your back. Another pshat. All right. All right, so all these different pshatim, they're all related to a very, very similar idea. Okay. Now, Tosfos or Rush. The Rush, so we had Rashi, we had Tosfos, and the Rush in Nida over there just says a black on white that if you sleep on your back, you're going to get aroused. Uba lide carry. So it's just, we're really worried that it's going to lead to a seminal emission. Okay, all right, done. So the last comment in the Rishonim, before we go to more Lamedus and Halacha, is the Rashba. Until now, we've been translating the whole sugya as talking about someone sleeping on the back. A proctan is when you're on your back. But the Rashba says, no, it's referring to either on your back or on your front. So ubein shochev upanav lamata. So he agrees with the first pshat, but this is not limited to the first pshat. It might also be referring to someone who's facing downward. But the basic idea is that it's all the same. It's going to lead to some impure result. Okay. All right. Any questions? So if we were to stop here, do you think someone with shoulder issues is allowed to sleep on their back?
You have no choice.
No choice.
You have to sleep.
You have to sleep.
Is this advice or is it halacha?
That's a great question. So Adam is suggesting maybe there's room to argue that it's not a halachic requirement as much as it is a halachic suggestion. Now, it's a halachic guideline, but not a halachic requirement. I don't know if it's on the books, but you are right. Meaning, Rabbi Shulman Levi said, I would curse anyone who does this, right? So now that sounds really intense, but it also might be less than requirement. Meaning, it doesn't say usser, right? Meaning, let's poke a little bit out of the Gemara here. We need a heter, right? So is it within the halachic boundary to argue that, listen, it's not advisable, it could lead to something bad, but it's not black and white? What do you think? Abe, is that valid to say it's not black and white? You want to say that even though it is black and white, usser, but here is another option.
It depends. It depends on the person.
Oh.
Some people don't need very much prompting.
Oh.
Some people, now.
So, all right. So, obviously, we're not gonna elaborate, but Avi is pointing out that it depends on, it depends. It depends on how you grew up. It depends on what you know. Very good. Without elaborating, it could be a case-by-case situation. Right? Very good. All right. So, there happens to be an Aruch Lener, which is going to turn into a Chazon Ish, where the Aruch Lener, in his commentary to Maseches Nida, says, I don't really get it. Meaning, Ketzas Kasha. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who did he curse? The guy who slept on his back, right? All right, Rashi, whatever. But why does the Gemara compare that to Kriyat Shema? Meaning, Kriyat Shema, you could say, when you're not sleeping. Meaning, the whole point was that, why did they allow you to say Kriyat Shema when you were on your back? No, it's very simple. When you go to bed, you can't go to bed on your back. But in Kriyat Shema, you're not sleeping. You're awake. So what should you have thought? Since you're awake, therefore what? You can say Kriyat Shema on your back. Because the whole idea of don't go on your back, that's all related to when you're in bed. So why does the Gemara say, oh no, you can't say Kriyat Shema when you're on your back? No, the whole point of the Gemara is to say, Rav Yosef says that even when you're awake, it's usser to go on your back. Meaning, the Aruch Lener says it's not so complicated for the Gemara to say that, well, Kriyat Shema is different. Kidding is different, because the whole point is that when you were awake, there shouldn't have been any issue. Kamash Mon, there is an issue. So maybe you could have argued that there's still a problem to lie on your back even when you're awake. And that's why the Gemara needs to say that even when you're awake, you shouldn't say Shema like that, because you might have thought that it's okay. Again, without the back and forth, but So all of a sudden, we don't really generally worry about falling asleep. So the Aruch Lener is not really sure what the Gemara is so bothered by. Again, I'm sorry, I'm not going to go into full detail of the Aruch Lener. But what emerges from that Aruch Lener is that the Gemara should have just said very simply, black and white, that this whole issue of going on your back doesn't apply to someone who's not sleeping. But guess what? The Sefer Rav Chaim Kanievsky quotes the Chazon Ish, Yesh lo la'adam lahargil asim l'shachev al tzido dafka. Go to bed on your side. Now here's a key term. The Isser Gadol. Isser Gadol. It is like really forbidden. L'shachev prakdan. You cannot go to bed on your back. Or on your stomach. Either way, like the Rashi we mentioned. Va'afilu shena levad below kriya. Even if you're not reading kriya shema, even if you're just going to bed, whoa! And umuchach be'gemara da'afilu shchiva below shena aser. And he says, and the reading between the lines of the Gemara that even if you're not sleeping, it's aser. Because again, if it was so obvious that when you're awake, it's okay to be in your back, the Gemara never should have been bothered by the whole kriya shema thing. And all of a sudden, from the fact that the Gemara is asking, well, what's the deal with Kriyat Shema? Even when he was awake, it was a problem. So the Chazon Ish, apparently, it's quoted here, wouldn't lie on his back even when he was awake. What do you guys think about that?
Well, you're not predisposing yourself to a potential avera.
Right, meaning it's not such a crazy chumrah if you think about it, right? Meaning if the whole idea is that when you're on your back, you're more likely to be aroused, right? So maybe even when you're awake, or maybe even more likely when you're awake. If the whole idea is that in your sleep, you know, the body kind of takes over, or the hands
now,
do it.
In your sleep, you naturally move around to your side.
Oh, that's interesting.
If you're up consciously, then it's not, it's not the position. It's more of a position to be aroused when you're on your back.
All right. So now this is an interesting thing, Olson, because imagine me chafing up reclining chairs. Every man watching the NFL.
You're not on your back.
All right. He's on your back. Right. So what's the situation where we're mamash on our back? On your back. When are we on our backs? You say when you go to the pool, and you're on a lounge chair. So you're saying you're still an incline. There's a recliner, so it's not, you're not on your back. That's sitting up, right? No, Peter, is that called lying on your back? Yeah, sitting by the pool.
No,
you're reading a book. You're reading a book. No, you're sitting up, right?
Lying on your back, it's all euphemism for lying around doing nothing. Because when you're lying on your back, you're not with the safer on top of you.
Oh, interesting.
You're dead? You're not reading with the
safer
on top of your head.
I hear that. So this is on the Musar Haskell. So everyone's...
That's what it means.
Okay.
You're in a predisposition to do nothing good.
Again, I don't think most posing probably won't say this, but it should be noted there's, again, based on the Aruch Lener and the Chazon Ish, there is such a concept that some would argue that you're not allowed to lie on your back or your stomach even when you are awake. Again, obviously, though, like physical therapy, if they say, lie on your back, lie on your stomach, that's different, whatever. And if the line, if you're getting an MRI, whatever. But Kriya Shema is different. Kriya Shema, you should sit up. We'll talk about that. All right, but this is the background. And now we'll try to learn a little bit of halacha. I'll try to come away with something. Over here, you could throw an absolute curveball in the sugya, which you're not going to do. But the Rambam Hilchos Deo says, Lo yishen adam lo al panav lo al orpo. Don't sleep on your face or on your back. Ela al tzido, on your side. That's how you should sleep. Go to bed on your left shoulder. And in the middle of the night, by the end of the night, you should be on your right side. Beautiful. Don't go to bed right after you eat. Rather wait. And don't go to sleep during the day. What's that I'm talking about? What's that I'm talking about? It's about health. It's not talking about... inappropriate sexual issues. He's not talking about that. The Rambam is seemingly talking about very medical stuff. It's Hilchos Deos, right? Again, just to highlight the point. If you open up Hilchos Deos in the Rambam, this is in Perek Dalet. of Hilchos Deos, the Rambam's probably talking about, you know, the classic type of 24-hour schedule where you're just taking care of your body, your heart and soul, whatever. You know, it's not at all related to anything we've said at all. So again, Hilchos Deos, Perek Dalet, I said. So again, the very first halacha in that parak is Hoel v'hayos haguf bari v'shalim midarach Hashemu. Part of our brother's gym to take care of your body, etc. So guess what? Halacha is don't eat too much, whatever, you know, whatever. It's all about physical health. Oh, okay. So then in halacha, hey, he speaks about how to, the proper posture for sleep. And again, halacha vav is about your diet. Don't eat things that are going to make you have a bad digestive system. Right? So if you learn the Rambam, you might come away with a totally different shot in the Rishonim, but nothing to do that would lead to arousal or anything like that. Because the Gemara is just telling you how to sleep from a medical perspective, from a physical health perspective. Wow. Wow. Now, that you could learn it that way, but the only thing is we're not going to paskin like that. And number two, the Rambam himself says you're obviously not allowed to do things that lead to arousal. Meaning, fine, pick your different Gemara and Shas. The bottom line is you're not allowed to arouse yourself no matter what. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Birach of Aleph Yateh says certainly a person is not allowed to, say, pleasure himself, etc., or think about things that will lead to that, whatever, you know, and it's certainly related to what Abi was saying, whereby if you are just lying idly, doing nothing, it's going to lead to bad things. And that's why the halacha here says that if you're lying down and inappropriate thoughts come to mind, you know what you should do? Combat it with thoughts of Torah. So the Rambam says in Yisurei Birach of Aleph Yateh, wow, v'yifana l'divrei Torah. Wow. But then the Rambam says, l'fichach. Therefore, what are you not allowed to do? Because you're not allowed to bring yourself to arousal, guess what you're not allowed to do? Asr la'adam lishon al orpo upanav lamala. There it is, black on white. So the Rambam goes full circle and says, in addition to that stuff I told you in Hilchos Deos, where it's just medically better, it's also included in this halacha. If you sleep on your back or your face, no, you need to lean a little bit. Kidesh lo yavodi l'day kishoy, so you don't get aroused physically. Wow. So there it is. The Rambam actually presents this halacha in very different contexts in his Mishnah Torah. Beautiful. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch and Ibn Ezra writes exactly what the Rambam just wrote, that you're not allowed to do things that will lead to hirhurim. So again, it goes without saying, not a Musar Shmuz. But obviously, if, you know, there's certain commercials or whatever it is, you know, we don't need to talk too much about the obvious. But that being said, it's, you know, it's a dangerous world out there, even if you're looking at the news, you know, Jewish eyes or Jewish eyes, without elaborating. So the Shulchan Aruch says the following. Let's talk about Hilchos Kriyat Shema for a second. Kara Osa Mahalech or Omed or Shochet. Let's say you want to be Kriyat Shema, okay? You're walking, you're standing, you're Shochet. What does Shochet mean? Lying down? Oh, Rochav Agabe Behema. Shulchan Aruch seems pretty chilled out. Avalo Prakta. No. You can't read the Shema while you're Praktan. And he elaborates whether it means that your face is in the ground or you're on your back facing upward. So apparently the Shulchan Aruch would be fine with you lying down as long as you're not lying down on your back or on your stomach. And there it is, black and white. Aval korev u'shochev al tzido. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to say the Shema on your side. So let's say, hypothetically, in the hospital, this is what Abi was talking about before, and the story is said about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal, where he was in the hospital and he was very makpid to try to lean on his side when he was to say the Shema, so that he wouldn't be lying down. But again, even without going that far, what could you already argue? A hospital bed is what? Not really lying on your back, right? You can easily adjust the chair to be more like a recliner, right? That you're not really on your back, right? So I think sitting up in a chair is totally fine. Obviously, we all daven in shul every day. And lying down on your back is not fine. But there are many degrees between lying on your back and sitting in a chair, right? So if you had a 45-degree angle, what in the mathematician, what do you think? Is that okay? See, I would say yes, because you're not lying on your back.
It's not even the, you know.
So if you have a big pillow, you're okay.
In a hospital setting, you are not choosing how to sleep.
Right. So,
you're a victim of the circumstance.
Right. Very good. So Adam's saying, back is back. What, all of a sudden, a pillow is not your back. So, I would say one pillow maybe is still your back. But yeah, eventually, you're going to be considered to be reclining as opposed to lying on your back. So, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say, as long as you're on your side. But the Ramah comes along and says, no. When are you allowed to say the Shema while lying on your side? That's only if you already went to bed and it's really, really inconvenient for you to get out of bed. So therefore, the halacha says, okay, you're already naked or in your pajamas and whatever. So just go on your side and say Yishma before you pass out. We're not going to make you get out of bed. But that's the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch seemingly was totally okay with you reciting the Kriyat Shema while lying on your side. Okay. And this is spoken out in the Poskim over here, where the Bir Halacha, again, basically explains it's a big machlokus between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. And you know what? Many really Paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, and you can really be lenient to say the Shema while you're lying on your side. Better to be machmeh like the Ramah, but me'ikar adin, by letter of the law, it's seemingly very valid to say the Shema while lying on your side. That's a very valid posture to be in while you're lying on your side. Okay, so that's fine. Again, more technical details in the Mishabur over there. Because let's say you have to just pick one thing. So he says, aval im yachal al tzido, afilu rak pasuk rishon, levad mechuyib la'asoskin. So that would be the idea, that the Mishabur like elaborates on some of the finer halachos, where, you know, if you can't maybe lie on your side for the whole Shema, at least for the first pasuk, very nice. Now, afilu muta ma'at al tzido. Here's where we talk about our angles, our 45-degree angles. Says the Mishabur, even if you're a little bit on your side, gamkin asur. You know why? Because how do you accept Hashem's yoke on you? Looking like what? You're lying down or you're standing up straight, or sitting up straight at least. If you're being mekabel omal shemayim, it should not be derech srara v'gava, arrogant. So even a little bit on your side is really not appropriate. So that's
prakta. So the idea is you shouldn't be in total comfort.
Right.
When you sleep, you should be, when you're on your back or you're face down, then you're
that's really bad.
You're lounged out in total comfort. That's the Zerach Sroor V'gaiva.
Right. When you're completely chilling, lounging, that's Zerach Sroor V'gaiva. And apparently, what, that changes when you're on your side.
Yeah, because you're curled. You're curled. You're not as...
Right, you're not relaxed. You're not lounging anymore. Right. So the Mishabura does say that even if you're mostly lounging and you are only a little bit on your side, that's still not good enough.
Unless you're
Balbasar. Right, I didn't read that part right. The Shulchan Aruch does say, Vimei Balbasar Harbe, let's say it's very physically hard for you to sit up. You can't even get on your side, or you're sick. Note Ma'at Letzido V'Kori. Then you can get away with just a slight turn to the side. So you don't have to be so machmir to go fully on your side, but even a note Ma'at, even a slight turn on your side. Okay. Now, has anyone ever been in the scenario where you needed to say Shema on your side? You know, Baruch Hashem, we're zochet to say the Shema, you know, sitting in a chair, standing up if need be. But, you know, Baruch Hashem, it's pretty rare for us to have to say Shema lying down. You know, Baruch Hashem, we should not take that for granted.
At the daven once, the only time I wasn't able to get up for Sfiras HaOmer, that was that I just had surgery.
Yeah.
Prostate surgery, and I don't even remember if I was able to get on my side. I was in
right, so if you're post-surgery, so you have to say Shema whatever way you can. Right, that's it. And don't be a hero, meaning even a little bit. That's not luck. If you're sick, just lean to the side as much as you can. Okay, now this comes up also by Krish Malamita, and that's really where the sugyas collide, right? Meaning until now we've been speaking about reciting Shema on your back and going to bed on your back. And Krish Malamita is like the perfect storm, where you're saying Shema in bed, about to go to bed. So this is where the Mishabura will pick up on this halacha. So number one, if you already recited the Shema at Maariv and you're just going to bed and now all you want to say is Kriyat Shema Lamita, the halacha will be more lenient. So you could even lechatchila recite it while you're lying down. Maybe. Because it's not the real deal. You already said Shema. This is just Kriyat Shema Lamita. V'yesh machmir. No, this is Mishabura. The others are saying, no, you can never say Shema. Even Kriyat Shema Lamita while you're on your back. It's just not nice. Not nice. You want to say, oh, I already said Shema in Shul, I already was Yotzei the Mitzvah, okay, so go on your side. All right, now, the Mishabura that says, V'yeshlo la'adam la'hargil atam l'shachiv al tzido davka, here it is. V'iser gadol, it's a great prohibition to sleep on your back or to sleep on your stomach. OMG. It's an iser gadol. Does a torn labrum trump an iser gadol? Alvin, the pharmacist, what do you got? Yeah. Maybe not. So if I'm a posek, I don't know. Because I would say, I don't know. Listen, you're really not allowed to go to bed on your back. Isser Gado.
Oh, come on. They got a heter.
Whoa. Now, again, in the Gemara, we just saw that Rav Shua ben Levi cursed whoever slept on their back. Now, you could have learned that as a real big chumrah, or ironically a kula. It's not really an isser, it's just a curse, whatever. So Rav Shua ben Levi cursed, and that, now you have the Chazon Ish and the Mishabura saying it's an isser Gado. Isser Gado is an isser Gado. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva that we'll get back to in a second, but there are a few things everyone should note. The poskim speak about chinuch in the sugya. At what age should you teach your children to lie on their sides, believe it or not? So let's say 9 years old, the Sheva Halevi Rav Vosner really has a tshuva about this, and he says certainly you should train kids when they get to the age of chinuch. So obviously little kids know. But upasha de chinuch was a matchel ma'od b'tzirusa, meaning, you know, when they're able to handle it, you teach them. Is that we go to bed as a Jew? You go to bed on your side. Wow, that's it. It says vaday pashut the mitzvah lahargilos and bezedu mehanhagos kedosha. The same way you teach anything. This is it. And there's a famous story. It's brought down in the Shailas Hatshuva of Rav Yaakov Hillel, and it's brought down in Ravoldi. It's brought down in a few Svarim, believe it or not. Right? Markowitz Shlita told me this when we gave the Shia on false messiahs a few weeks ago, or the Shaila of the halachic criteria to be Mashiach. So Rabbi Markowitz said, did you tell the Shabtai Tzvi story? Said, what Shabtai Tzvi story? I said, we spoke about Shabtai Tzvi, but I don't know the story. Very good. So the Svarim HaKadoshim say that when the Taz's son-in-law went to go check out Shabtai Tzvi, he noticed that he was sleeping on his back. And he therefore concluded that this man must not be Mashiach. Because if he was Mashiach, there's no way he would have been violating this din. Now, what's the kasha in that, Maisa? I sleep on my back. And obviously, I'm one of the leading candidates for Mashiach, right? So what's the issue? So it's a wild story where they say that because Shabtai Tzvi slept on his back, that was a dead giveaway that he wasn't Mashiach Mandavi. So, again, I got my heter. A Rav Moshe does have a tshuva, where he does basically explain the machlokas and the nekudas of machlokas in the Rambam and the Rashi between whether or not we're precautious or overly cautious. Is it just about leading to carry, or, you know, are we really worried about an omission, or is it just inherently usher to have, we'll say, an arousal? So you could understand where, you know, if someone says, you know, I need to for medical reasons, and, you know, let's just say it's not an issue, so to speak, a married man, etc., you know, whatever, it's different maybe than someone who's a teenager, etc. So you could understand that maybe there's less of an issue, or maybe there are other ways to get around the potential chashashos. But ultimately, we'll say there's a real heter out there, and you could understand that if the whole issue is more in lines of the Tosfos Arash, that it's just we're afraid that it will lead to an actual emission, maybe there's more leniency. You know, than not. But again, there's more to talk about. But and everyone should be able to sleep properly, and everyone should be healthy. Okay, mentally, physically, spiritually.